This is often a time when folks set aside this particular day to honor mothers, and yes, we should be very thankful of mothers. If you stop and think about it, without mothers, which of us would be here? However, today is the Lord's Day. We are here to serve and worship God, and part of doing this is preaching and teaching. And the fact that many have on their minds today that this is in many places called Mother's Day, we're going to be discussing a mother who followed God and in so doing properly taught and guided her son, setting the example before us how that we too as parents, particularly mothers, might bring their child up, this particular one who was to become a great worker in the kingdom of God and for the cause of Christ. If you will turn in your Bibles to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We see that the Apostle Paul is guided by the Spirit, is writing to the young preacher Timothy, whose mother is the subject or the topic of our sermon, Eunice, a mother that cared. He says in writing to this young preacher, "I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Here we have a prime example of a mother doing that which she should do for her children. All of us have no doubt those who are fond in our minds because they did open to us the Word of God. But blessed or happy is the one who received this instruction as a child, who received this instruction while they were young and malleable in their minds, who heard the Word of God at their mother's feet. Mothers are sometimes taken for granted, especially in this world of hustle and bustle and all the things that have to be done. And those of you who are mothers know this very well. But unfortunately, mothers do leave this life, and those who are taken for granted are severely missed when they are gone. Those who are dearly loved and adored are missed when they are gone. But when God set up the family, He recognized the vital role of both parents. He did put in place a structure so that the parents would, if handling their roles properly, see to it to the well-being of the children. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, we see the commandment regarding the responsibility of the children toward the parents. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Oftentimes, the child spends more time with the mother. But do you know this is the way God planned it? Oh, it is. The father was to provide, and the mother also was to provide, but she was to provide an education for her children. Timothy was truly blessed to have a godly mother, as are all who have had one, who are one. She was not perfect, but she was his mother. She was not sinless, but she was a saint. She was not superhuman, but she was a super mom. We say this because of the activities she involved herself with, because of the exposure she provided to young Timothy. We saw in our text, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." What the Apostle Paul here is talking about is the instruction that brought about the love of God in the heart of Timothy. This instruction was received from his godly mother. You know, there's a difference between a mother and a woman who gives birth to a child. It's often been said that any man can be a daddy, but it takes a special person to be a father. The same thing can be said of mothers. Any woman can give birth, or most all women can give birth. But it takes a special woman to be a mother. This mother, Eunice, was that type of special woman. She was a loving mother. Of course, a loving mother is obviously a person that loves. But when we realize and understand what we're talking about, when we say that a mother is a person that loves, it is this love that is to be properly directed. The mother should first and foremost and always love God, seeking to do His will. And in doing His will bring up her children properly, teaching them what God's Word says. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, we have instruction regarding the women, what they are to do, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their children, or to love their husbands, to love their children. They are taught as young women to love their husbands, to love also their children. And one of the most important things that a person can do for someone they love is either to introduce them to the gospel or to continue to encourage them, to labor with them in the gospel, and specifically so with children. Children, in growing up, often are seeking to know how to live life. When they have a godly mother providing them an example, they can see the way. Will they always follow it? No, not necessarily. But they can see the way. So the woman learns to love her husband and her children. We often think, when we think about mothers, that love is automatic. Do you know that we learn to love people? The question came up one time about children loving their parents. You take a child who was born, perhaps the mother dies, and they place this child in another home. We call it adoption. Well, they grow up not knowing that this person, these people that are raising them, did not give them birth, but yet they still love. It's because they learned to love them, because of the way in which they were treated, the care that was given them, the love that was first directed toward them. But what is true love? What is true love? You can know that you are a loving mother when your son comes home from college and probably needs a U-Haul trailer to carry all the dirty clothes he wants you to wash that weekend. You can know that you are a loving mother when you have an assortment of 12 handmade clay ashtrays made at camp by your children and there's not a soul in your family that smokes. You can know that you are a loving mother when your three-year-old comes to you, tears coming down his face because his favorite toy is in the toilet and it wants you to fish it out. You know you're a loving mother when your freezer is packed with 27 boxes of Girl Scout cookies because they had, because they had to be sold and no one would buy them. But true love is expressed and truly understood when it is directed toward God first. True love is experienced by those children who has a mother who will train them and teach them. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 is a passage that is often misquoted. It's often abused. It's often abused by people who think that they have brought their children up properly. The Bible tells us there in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we all know people who had received the proper instruction in life. And so we know that this is no guarantee, because there are those who have received the proper instruction in life, and for whatever reason, because of the cares of this world, or because of influences outside of the family, who have departed from that way in which they were taught. It's heartbreaking. Each must make his own decision in life as adults. But as the child is growing up, the good mother will teach them to have good manners. You know, one of the greatest compliments that we received as children coming from a broken home was that we had manners. Go out this afternoon and pick a child at random. Go to the mall. Walk up to a child and ask them a question. And you're going to receive one of two answers. Yep or nope. Rarely do the children say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. But we are taught in God's Word as we bring up our children to bring them up to have good manners. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we see a reminder there of some of the same instruction perhaps that Timothy received at the feet of his mother. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Verse 2, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. This is good manners. So we treat people properly. Oh, it's accepted in our world that yep and nope is an acceptable answer. But it's not being very mannerly. She teaches her children to be careful of what they say. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37, we'll see the words of Jesus Christ as he told us when we stand at the judgment bar that we will be judged based upon those things which we say in this life. And we all have had situations within our lives in which we have said something and wished immediately that we could take it back. Once it's outside of the lips, it's out there. It's like hitting send on an email. You can't unsend it. Or some people may be able to, but I'm not able to. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 through 37, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Or judgment. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." The things which we say in this life have a definite impact upon not only those to whom we say them or those about whom we say them, but also upon ourselves. And as children, we should be taught by mothers that care that our words do have an impact. We were taught as children, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is one untruth that a child should never hear. Words do hurt, and they cause harm. But as she's teaching them to be careful of what they say, she's teaching them to have good manners, she is teaching them to be pure. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 is a passage that we'll read about this. There's nothing more pure or more innocent than a child. And we want them to retain that quality. And so the way that we ought to provide them the means whereby they might retain that quality is to teach them to be pure, to remain pure. To the Corinthian brethren, Paul writes, as guided by the Spirit, in chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Not only should our children remain pure, but we as children of God should be pure, striving to serve God, knowing that we are putting in us the Word of God. And if we follow that Word of God, we can be pure. The mother that cares will teach her children to respect proper authority. This is something that I have seen in my lifetime go by the wayside. Proper authority. You know, the time was when an adult, didn't matter if it was my relative or not, could snatch me up and correct me. Point that finger in my face and say, "You know you're doing wrong. You do it now, you're liable to find yourself down at the jailhouse." Why? Because children are not taught to respect authority. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, we see a passage given directly toward children, telling them how they ought to act. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." There are those who have sued their parents for various reasons. There are those who have rejected their parents. It's because they have not been taught to respect authority. If we do not respect the authority of our parents, how is it that we're going to respect the authority of God? The mother who cares, teaches her children to choose their friends carefully. We are often taught as we grow up that there are certain people with whom we ought not to associate. It is because they will cause us to deviate from the path that our parents know is proper for us to walk. The Bible also teaches this in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. And it is a very direct statement toward us. It said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Say no. Just say no. There's a ongoing push, if you will, to keep young people away from drugs. And one of the slogans that they use is just say no. When a person comes to you and says, "Hey man, you got to try this. This is some good stuff." Say no. The temptation will be there because perhaps all of your friends may be doing it. But the child with the proper foundation, because the mother has taught them to choose their friends carefully, will say, "No, I will not consent to this." The mother that cares is a person that helps her children grow as Christ grew. You know, we think about Jesus Christ as you turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. We think about Christ, and we always think about Christ the adult. Christ the man, going about doing his Father's will, even as a child. And I consider a 12-year-old a child. In the Jewish system, he became a man at 12 years old. But he told his parents the first time that they took him down to Jerusalem, "Know ye not that I ought to be about my Father's business?" It was not time at that point in his life to be about his Father's business. We see in Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and following, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." Here is the Creator of the universe, of all that we have, being subject to his parents. Why? Because the example is set before us right there. If even Jesus was subject to his own parents, should we not be? But notice what happened. His mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He grew, he matured, he became the man that he should be. And when it was time for him to begin his earthly ministry, you can bet that his mother had done her job. If you'll stop and think about it, at the time of the first miracle that we have recorded, Mary said to those with him, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do ye." She had cared, and she had done as she should have done. A mother that cares wants her children to grow mentally and physically. It seems sometimes that this is the only area of life in which we focus. We want our children to be smart, don't we? Of course we do, and every mother wants her child to be smart, to be bright. It is often said that every hen thinks her chicken is the best. But she wants her children to grow mentally and physically. But she should also want her children to grow socially and spiritually. A child that does not grow spiritually is not growing very well. It's a very lopsided growth. The woman, mother who cares, is a homemaker. I know that doesn't sit well in today's society. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, we see direction for those who were to be mothers. We see direction specifically regarding motherhood, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That last phrase needs to be underlined in your Bible. Those who say, well, in today's society it is impossible for the mother to be a keeper at home. No, it's not. God directed so that the word of God be not blasphemed. And it can happen. I know mothers who have not worked until such time as the children were able to take care of themselves after coming home from school. But I also know mothers who have decided as soon as the child can go through half a day without crying, or perhaps as soon as the colic is over, they put them in a nursery or they hire a babysitter or whatever like that, and they rush back to their job because they have to have everything that the world offers. I will tell you, the parents who provide for their children properly and the mothers who provide for their children properly end up with much more well-rounded children. A mother that cares is a mother that remembers. The mother remembers when she carries the child and the joy when you were born. You ask a mother, do you really remember the pain of childbirth? No. That was erased when that child was born. But she remembers your first steps, your first day of school, your first date, your first broken heart, your first night spent away from home, and all these things. And if you don't believe it, set your child down and you say, do you remember when you were a child, such and such and this and that? And they look at you like you're an alien. What? Oh, but we remember. Is our memory any better than the child's? No, it's not. But the mother remembers these things. They keep little mementos. They remember the things because they are a mother that cares. A mother that cares is a person that accepts the fact that doing her job well means that her children will grow up and leave home and make their own life. Oh, is it easy? No. One of the absolute hardest things to do is to see your child leave home, knowing that they're making their own way in this world. You're there for them. You say, if you need anything, call me. And you hope they call you quickly. Not because they need anything, because you want to hear their voice. A mother that cares is a woman that has accepted that she has the hardest job in the world, but also realizes it's one of the most important jobs in the world. Sometimes it starts with pain, travail, and goes downhill from there. But sometimes, even though it starts out with birth pains, it is a wonderful situation. Yet, a godly mother is up to the task, because if she followed in the steps or the footsteps of other godly women, such as Eunice. Eunice was a God-fearing mother. She was a lover of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, we see instruction from God to people. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Yes, you've got a family, but what comes first? It's got to be God. She understood, as we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, what the conclusion of the whole matter was. Yes, she had a child. Yes, she had a husband. Yes, she had responsibilities within this world. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We need to understand that this is first and foremost, and as a God-fearing mother, she will put God first. We don't need to get so caught up in things that really won't matter in the long run. And a good mother won't do that. Eunice was a worshiper of God. She followed the words of Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. When Satan came and wanted to tempt the Lord, and had tried to tempt him, or actually put before him temptations, and every time God said, it is written. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, we see the words of Jesus, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We need to understand and realize that a mother who cares, one who is a godly mother, will see to it that their children understand the necessity of following God, serving God, doing His will. But before Eunice could teach Timothy, she had to have been following God. Many times parents go through this life and they act as though the saying, don't do as I do, but do as I say, applies. Well, it doesn't work that way. For Eunice to be a God-fearing mother and be able to teach her son she first had to have been following God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we'll see that she taught Timothy God's word. The Apostle Paul, writing to him as he was guided by the Spirit, said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." He wasn't speaking just of the things that Paul himself had conveyed to Timothy. No. "Knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Look at verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." That's part of bringing up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. He will know the truth. And as Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Eunice respected God's word and the authority of God's word, and it made a lifelong impression upon Timothy. How important is your child's soul? Is it important enough as your children are at home? Is there still under your roof to make sure that they have read their Bible lessons on Saturday night? Is it important enough to get up early on Sunday morning in order to get everybody ready to come to the services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Is it important enough to talk to them and ask them what they have been reading and studying? When Philip approached the eunuch, he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Should we not ask our children, "Do you understand what you're reading in your Bible studies?" Oh, yes, we should. So that we can help them. But Eunice was also a mother that cared in that she overcame difficulties. And you know, through this life, we're going to have difficulties. There is not a one of us that goes through this life that will not have difficulties. But she apparently was a Christian married to a non-Christian. I would not recommend that. But it happens. And as it happens, it can be properly dealt with. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, we find all that we're going to find out about Timothy's father. We'll see that she apparently was married to a non-Christian, but she herself was a child of God. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there was named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman." We already know that she has been identified as Eunice, "which was a Jewess and believed," and that tells us that she was a child of God, "but his father was a Greek." We are not specifically told that his father was not a Christian, but we are told that his mother was a believer. So therefore, the only information we are given regarding Timothy's father is that he was a Greek. And this can be a challenge, but it is the mother's responsibility to help the children. I have seen time and time again the mother make a deal and say, "You know, while the children are small, they're going to church with me." And in many, many cases, when the children get old enough to go play golf with dad or go fishing with dad on Sunday, they are allowed to make the choice. Should we treat our children this way? We should not. She set a worthy example before her son. She taught him modesty. She taught him about studying God's word, about righteous living, about doing good works. She was a mother whose influence has never been forgotten. She helped Timothy to become the man that he was. Mothers, you can be rearing a preacher or the wife of a preacher. You can be rearing an elder, a deacon, or the wives of either. Or you can utterly fail in raising your children. Eunice was a mother that cared. Do you care? I'm sure you do. But know this, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mothers have a great deal of influence upon their children. If it's the right kind of influence, we would have more children still involved in serving God and doing His will. We are thankful for mothers. We are thankful for children. We are thankful for all who would come, even at the request of someone else, and hear the Word of God. And as they come and as they hear the Word of God, part of what they must hear is what it is in order for them to become children of God. A godly mother will teach their children this. So when the time comes when they can make the decision on their own, they will become children of God. But if you are here and haven't obeyed the gospel, you too need to know. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, we'll see that it's we must hear the word of God. Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we'll see that not only must we hear the gospel, we must also believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must also repent. Luke chapter 13 verses 3 and 5 tells us, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We must confess. Jesus himself dealt with confession. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 8, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." And then we need to be baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 is very clear upon this. When they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" they realized that they had crucified the Son of God and they were lost in their sins. And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Friends, that gift is the promise of eternal life. However, once we have heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, we become children of God, and great is the rejoicing in heaven when this happens. We must then remain faithful until death. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we see these words. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that these are those who have obeyed the gospel, become children of God, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Verse 21 says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Why? Because once they are entangled up in the world and they are drawn away, then they are lost. They are lost as if they have never obeyed the gospel. However, as a child of God, they will always be children of God. Yet they are in error. God has provided also for them that they might not go into eternity lost forever. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we see, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." What is your condition this morning? Are you a child of God, faithfully serving him, doing his will? Or have you never named Jesus as Lord and Savior? You can't do so by speaking it. You can't do it by saying a prayer in your heart. You must do it by obedience to those things which we have found in his word. Have you allowed sin to come into your life and therefore separated yourself from God? Don't continue this day without reestablishing that relationship through repentance and prayer. We're going to sing the invitation song. As we sing that invitation song, ask yourself, what's my relationship with God? And how do I respond to this invitation? Won't you come? Together we stand and sing.